We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Glenn and Lou.
I think I'm leaning more towards Lou. I think
You like Lou better.
I like Lou better than you. I like Lou a lot better than you today.
The Red Sox did not have a great weekend following a lackluster trade deadline.
Disappointment deluxe for the Red Sox.
Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo Rick.
Could Marcus Smart be Dunsky in Boston?
Aren't you tired of everything that involves Marcus Smart? His output isn't worth the headache that he comes with.
We've gone from clean slate.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone does start from scratch.
To Cam is our starter.
I think I've said that. So.
Is anybody else confused?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
Glenn Ordway.
Word? I'm on the squad.
Lou Merlone.
Why don't we just put Pete
on WEEI.
So I go away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, some important stuff, you know. Life changes and marrying off my daughter in San Diego.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful
over the
pictures.
Weekend. And we had an unbelievable wedding. And you know San Diego. It's just a wonderful town with just perfect weather. But I go away like 2 weeks ago, and I'm sitting there going, all right, we've got another couple months of the Cam controversy. Who's going to be the quarterback? Will it be Cam? Will it be Mac Jones? And then we have another couple months of, can the Red Sox hold on to actually getting in the postseason and not playing in the play-in game? I come back here 2 weeks later, and everything has changed here, Lou. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I feel like a lot has changed, and this is like my biggest concern. Would you agree that, say, like the last 3 months has been like entertaining? Has been fun.
It's been
like,
great.
It's a good team, right? You follow in this team. I think fans enjoy watching this team. Everything is a positive, and oh my God, they're going to be in the playoffs. Can they win the division? Everything has been so positive.
It's been great.
That I think now you're in a position to where, I don't know, in a matter of 24 hours, like on Friday, like it became extremely negative. It became extremely like, you know, now I'm mad at Bloom. I'm not happy that he built this team and entertaining me for 4 months. Now I'm pissed he didn't go further. Now I'm pissed at the Red Sox. I don't think they can hold on. There's other teams coming. And I'm just talking the vibe around following the Boston Red Sox has completely turned, in my opinion.
So I must tell you, in between an awful lot of alcohol over the weekend, I was following you on Twitter. And you were angry. This was angry Lou coming out again.
Friday was tough.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. It was, especially with the Yankees doing something, Toronto doing something, Berrios pitching well yesterday, Rizzo is hitting the cover off the ball for the Yankees. So you're actually seeing production out of the guys that they got. So I'll throw it out to you. They get swept over the weekend.
Yeah.
Are we dealing right now with a little bit of guys are in maybe a little bit of a fog because they're not happy. The team didn't do much. They didn't have trust in them.
Yeah, how can they be? And I even said this even like last night. It was like the first time all year I've been really worried about the team. You know, they've had stretches. They lost three straight. Oh, this is it. They're going to lose now. This is a stretch. They're going to and they always come back. And you're like, it's okay. They're okay. I am. I'm worried about this team right now because just for what you said, all these teams jump into their locker room Friday after hearing the news of Berrios and Hand up in Toronto, or Rizzo and Gallo up in New York, you know, or a brand new bullpen in Houston, or more additions, a second baseman, a closer in the White Sox. The A's went nuts. Give me a catcher. Give me Starling Marte. Everybody sort of added to all the teams you're competing against, even Nelson Cruz in Tampa. And they walked in there on Friday or over the weekend, whenever they showed up, and they said, okay, let's go. You know, we got like, what, 60 games left? 55 games? Let's go. Now it's time. We got time. We can make this thing up. And there was just this presence in a locker room, I'm sure, that just is positive. I've seen it before. I've been part of it before. And then you got that locker room down there in Tampa. And it's a complete opposite. You know, they're out there and they're scraping. They got this guy banged up, that guy banged up. There's no reinforcements. As a matter of fact, the one big reinforcement you got, he's banged up. And you don't know when Schwarber's going to be ready. So it's just this feeling of, man, everybody had fun at the party except for us. And that's I worry about the mentality, the mindset of this team moving forward. I worry about them in Detroit. Yeah, concerning.
Detroit's playing a lot better. and Hinch has done a pretty good job with him. It's interesting, Hinch and Cora have been both Manager of the Year candidates. And I say that loosely with Detroit because nobody expected the Tigers to do anything. And they're difficult at home right now. They're six games over 500 at home. And this is not an easy series for the Red Sox, especially the way they're playing. Here's the other thing, Lou, and I don't know if it's coincidental, and I think you're right. You've been it. You've experienced this, so you know better. But the lineup has suddenly gone cold. I mean, these guys are really struggling at the plate. Verdugo has been with lefties, but now you get JD. You can go through the lineup right now. They are really struggling.
The problem is that we've already seen it in the past, right? You know, like when you call up like a rookie and he gets hot. What is the one thing the veterans even say? This kid coming up getting hot has kind of rejuvenated us. You know what I mean? It's given us this little burst of energy. And this is what we're talking about, the deadline. That little burst of energy. It's August. It's the end of July. You right now, you're beat up. You're tired. You got this nagging quad injury. You got a nagging wrist injury. You got nagging back injuries. You got all these nagging injuries. And you've been grinding it out all year. You've done an amazing job. And then all of a sudden, they just add a little something to you. They add a little punch to your team. And it's like, oh, my body feels a little bit better. And let's go. Let's do this. We fill the hole here. We fill the hole there. Let's go. And it sort of has a feeling of just kind of making you feel better physically, mentally, probably more than anything, which makes your body feel better. So mentally, it's a big, big thing. We can't discount it because there will be years when they do go nuts at the deadline. And then we're going to hear the truth. We're going to hear what it does to the locker room. We're going to hear what it does to each and every player and how they feel this lift, this emotional, mental lift. When teams add, you hear the truth. When they don't add, you hear lies. And you do. You hear lies. We believe in this group. We think we have enough. We've been here all year. Why is everybody ripping us? We're in first place. Fine, fine. I'll find out the truth maybe next year, the year after, when they add at the deadline and they go big. Then we'll hear the truth because right now it's not the truth. They're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. And the thing that scares me the most, and let's remember where our expectations were at the beginning of the season. You were an optimist at 87. 87 is probably not going to make the postseason. And most people were looking at it saying, this is the bridge year. This is the year in which they've got these short-term contracts. They move to next year, and then it puts them in a position where now they can go out, make those big-time acquisitions, and now they can become a contender again. And yet they were on the speed track. They were in the fast track with all of this. And as you said, Lou, we've had a ball watching it because the team has vastly exceeded our expectations, and those are always the most fun teams. And now you look at it and say, has the organization realized that, okay, we're still that bridge year, we're still trying to build for 22 and 23, and we're not going to go out and make the moves, and whether that is transcending into that clubhouse, and if it is, this could be disastrous in the next month.
Yeah, and I think you're in a tough stretch right now. You'll get that boost, you know, in about 10 days when Chris Sale joins your rotation. You'll get a little bit of a bump. You'll get a little bit of a bump in, you know, 14 days when Kyle Schwarber. I'm just talking about this next week or two, I think is going to be a grind. It is. And again, this positive season to where you're rebuilding and winning at the same time. It's a joy to watch. They come back. They play their ass off. There's fun personalities. Maybe that you think they're playing over their head. Whatever. It just feels like that they just popped a balloon. And I have to go back now to this April preseason mentality of, you know, not 87, maybe it's 90 wins, and play competitive baseball in September. And if you sneak in, great. If you don't, it's okay. But that's a tough thing to do after watching the first 4 months. Like, that's a tough thing to settle for after watching the first 4 months, to go back to what you thought before the season started. Just play meaningful games. No. You're bought in. You're in. You're involved. You think there should be more. And I think you got to kind of go back to that mentality of just grind this thing out. You got a 4-game lead in the Yankees and the Rays and the Blue Jays. Anybody feel good about that?
No.
I don't.
No. We'll open up the phone lines and find out if you feel good about it because I hate to say it. This is one of those deals where they surprised us. There's no question about it. Give them credit for what they did over the first few months. But are they going to piss us off now because the expectations have changed, and they're not capable of reaching.
That's what I want to know. Did your positive vibe, the feeling of the Boston Red Sox all year, has that turned? You know, are you panicked right now? Like, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to know because it just, God, it just feels like that over the weekend, one weekend.
Or are they just a cute little team?
Yeah.
617-779-7937. No Christian today's got the day off. It's just Angry Lou and yours truly. We will get into Heim Bloom. And what was he thinking? As Lou said, were they not pushing for any of this? We'll get into all of this. Lou got the chance to see Chris Sale pitch, and I want to get his impressions of what he saw. And what the hell are the Celtics doing? What are they building for? Is it anything? We'll get to all of that right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
And the payoff pitch. Swing and a high little pop-up into shallow right field. Back on it, Lau. In on it, Margot. Margot is there. He makes the play. The ball game is over, and the Red Sox are swept in Tampa. 3-2. The Rays win it. Martinez's struggles continue. I think he again swung at ball four, and the Rays win 3-2. Disappointment deluxe for the Red Sox in Tampa. They are now a game and a half out in the American League East. Yankees won, Blue Jays won, and the Rays sweep the Sox.
Not pretty over the weekend, and the fact that all of the other contenders improved themselves, and maybe you didn't. You could possibly improve yourself if Chris Sale comes back, but he's probably now going to have to be very, very good to be a good addition to this team. So what was Heim Bloom doing? And this is a little bit concerning to me, that he was talking about making big moves that might run counter to their overall goals.
Any fan would love to see their team right in the thick of it, and you love to see your team, you know, making big moves. We would too. We just aren't going to do that, you know, when we think those moves are actually running counter to our goal. We know how high the expectations of our fans are. There were a lot of things, you know, that were put to us where we just felt we're not doing our jobs, and ultimately we are going to let our fans down, whether it be tomorrow, or whether it be next year, the year after, or all of the above.
See, that sound there, the question I would have is a counter to our goals. You know, that would be like the one thing. And I would say, okay, I know what, we all know what the goal is, sure. Right, Big O? I mean, it's sustainability. We right. Get it. Okay, you don't want to, and everyone's like, yeah, that's right, empty the farm system. No one's emptying a farm system, okay? No one's doing that. The Blue Jays give up a hell of a lot to get Barrios. You couldn't have got it. No one's emptying a farm system, okay? So the question is, what's the goal? Sustainability. Okay, but to me, it's like you got to respect the year that you're having right now. You know, you got to respect the team that's first place or best record or second best record at the time, you know, in the American League. And respect the fact that you're there. And respect the fact that for 6 months, including spring training, grinding this thing out and getting to this position, and add some visible pieces, some obvious pieces to this team. I don't think you deplete a farm system by getting a rental at first base. You know, I don't think you deplete a farm system, you know, and give away top 10, top 100 prospects to go out and maybe just add some more contact to first base and maybe get a fringe starter in that 3-4 spot just for depth, if nothing else. No one's looking for crazy splashes. I was just looking for depth. And that's where I was confused, because they're talking to Heim. He acknowledged that, you know, there's no waiver trade deadline. And our team on July 30th is our team, so we got to make sure, you know, that we have enough moving forward. And to me, Schwarber is a nice pickup, because I think outfield's a sneaky need. You need an outfielder. I don't know if you've watched a center fielder hit here recently in Duran. But first base, you know, depth, pitching, just, I don't know. I think he fell short. think he fell short.
Listen, this whole idea of the bigger goals, I think we all get that. We do. But baseball is a strange sport. You and I both agreed months ago, before the season began, that the team that most likely had the best chance to win the next championship was the Red Sox. Why? Not because they were built right now to win, but because of the way the game is played. You can rebuild a team if you're a big market team very, very quickly, far more so than any other sport. So they've gotten to that point right now. This is not surprising. Cardinal team won a few years ago with 86 wins during the regular season. I believe they qualified in like the last day of the regular season to make it into the postseason. It happens. And so I think that pisses me off a little bit. I think Bloom's done a terrific job to this point. He clearly, Lou, is well ahead of schedule. But damn it, when you have an opportunity and you don't take advantage of that opportunity, and you were talking about it earlier, what is the player's mindset? What is the fan's mindset right now? Yeah. You're sitting here saying, I get it. 22, 23 is where we're going to be contenders. But can't you be contenders this year? With a slight improvement, as you said.
And that's it. One move. One move doesn't deplete your system. And I have no idea what they were asking for. Now, the three first basemen that I wanted, apparently their team said none of them were available. They weren't going to trade Aguilar in Miami or Santana in Kansas City or Scope in Detroit. So then it slides down to my fourth option was Rizzo. And, you know, there was just three other guys I would rather have. Okay, well, Rizzo's available. What was the ask? They ate a lot of money to get better prospects from New York. We have no idea if the Red Sox were willing to eat all the money and give them lesser prospects. And if you're the Cubs, if I was them, I'd eat a little bit more money to get better prospects. They can afford it. So I don't know what they missed on. But, you know, you talk about Dombrowski emptying a farm system. You know, Chris Sale didn't empty the farm system. You give up Moncada and Kopech. That hurt the top. That's right. Okay, that hurt. You know, so that alone didn't hurt you. You know, Kimbrel alone didn't hurt you. You know, when you start adding up Kimbrel and you add up Sale and you add up Pomeranz and you add up Thornburg, now you're saying we just unloaded 15 prospects.
Yeah.
That depletes a system.
Right.
But does one of those moves destroy your system, set you back? You know, I don't think so. So could you have dove in and maybe made one uncharacteristic move to kind of put a first baseman on this team that you could actually rely on? I don't think that destroys you. That's all, you know, and I think you can still have a long-term goal. All right, you might lose a couple of players in that, like, prospects 9 to 15 range or 20 range or whatever. Is that it? Because of that, you can't win 2 years from now? Because of that? If you get rid of 6, you know, if you get rid of 10 of those guys, I get it. But 2 of them, that's it. It's over.
All right, I wonder if people are going to be pissed. There's 2 months left in the season. You've got a 4-game lead in the loss column over both the Yankees in Toronto. And the Yankees have been a dumpster fire to this point. Matter of fact, if anything, Rizzo gave them a spark this past weekend, a guy that they just acquired. And that was exactly what you were looking for with the Red Sox. So are people pissed because they stuck to their goals of rebuilding for 22 and 23? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Alexis in Leominster. Guys, you're going to have to pick it up.
We got it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Hello?
What's up?
Hello.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. Like you were saying, yeah, no, I mean, like, mm-hmm. It's not like we had to get rid of the farm system. Like, we could have traded. I don't know. Like, I'm not smart when it comes to this stuff, and I apologize. But I think we could have probably traded Dalbec or Marvin Gonzalez. Not even the entire farm.
That's not the farm. No, but I get it. I understand. I don't know where you're going with this right now, to be honest with you. But, yeah, you don't have to. See, the kid they gave up for Schwarber, right? And everyone's like, he's the 18th, 19th best prospect. See, you got to stop with these prospect lists. These prospect lists mean absolutely nothing right now. These prospect lists were put together in April. They haven't been updated. So in April, they put a prospect list together of like 50 prospects that haven't played baseball in a year and a half. They didn't have the minor league season. They haven't played against another team in a year and a half. Alex Speer was talking about this kid that they traded for Schwarber. Might have been 19 preseason, but in his midseason he's putting together, he was 8th. So you could argue they gave up the 8th best prospect for a rental on a guy you don't have for 3 weeks. You could sit there and say, well, Jesus, you gave up an awful lot to get Schwarber, you know, a top 10 prospect in your organization for a guy that still ain't going to be ready for you until the 3rd or 4th week of August. But you did it to improve this team. So the prospect list mean nothing about as far as where their numbers are. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how deep the conversations went. I know Haim. I mean, as far as from what I know about him, very flexible, you know, eyes and ears open, willing to think outside the box, you know, all of that stuff. I was shocked at the inactivity. I thought there'd be a minor league deal. I thought there'd be a depth starter. I thought there'd be a first baseman at bare minimum, and there just wasn't. That's just, I'm shocked.
Well, the consequences of all of that, because our expectations have been altered dramatically.
They have to be.
Yeah. If this 2 months remaining in this schedule, it is very possible that they could slip below the Yankees, below the Blue Jays, and then finish the season in fourth place within the division. You're going to sit there and say, well, wait a minute. There was an enjoyable like 2 or 3 months, but what did we really get out of all of this? And is it all just to protect?
See, that's the 22 thing.
And 23?
Yeah. So now you have to sit there, and I don't know how long that takes or if some people are even capable of it. Now I got to go back to my mentality before the season started?
Yeah, you don't think
they're that good, and if they finish just outside the playoffs and play meaningful games in September, you're supposed to feel good about that? I think that's really hard for a fan to do, given what you saw for 4 months. I think that's really hard for a fan to do. Like, you know, I can take a big step back and look at the big picture and say, okay, this year was what it was. But I'd still go, I mean, you know, 2 years ago, they added Eovaldi. They gave up the kid, the lefty they sent out to Tampa. And then they gave up, you know, they went out and got Pierce, and they gave up the kid who was in the big leagues, Espinal for the Blue Jays. He seems like a good player. You know, those two moves didn't set you back. You know, you got two players that you needed, and you were a great team, and you needed them to win. The bottom line is I don't think Haim Bloom thought enough about this team to invest like that in. Well, and that, I think, goes down to the clubhouse, and I think those guys hear it loud and clear.
That scares me. See, that scares me, Lou. And you've had experience with that. And there's no question that Bloom looked at this team and said, we can't win.
We'll give you a little bit. We'll give you Schwarber in about 3 weeks. And hope, by the way, with 2 months off of baseball, guys have played since July 2nd.
It's a little scary. So that's what I fear the most is he looked at it, he evaluated this team, and said, sorry, fans, sorry, players. We don't have enough to win it this year. So we're not going to do anything here. And I'm wondering if fans are not pissed at that. Certainly, the player reaction, they look dead this weekend. So the fans pissed that the expectations have changed for all of us. But apparently, they never changed with the Red Sox front office. We'll get to more of it at 617-779-7937. And Lou went out to Worcester. He probably needed directions. He's accustomed to going to Pawtucket.
I know.
Worcester was a little out of
didn't know how to get there.
But he got there and he watched Chris Sale. We'll get his 2 cents on that as well right here on OMF.
I'm appreciative of today. And I was appreciative of yesterday and the day before that. And when tomorrow comes, I'll appreciate that too. You know, I've had to slow this down. I've had to take this a day at a time. I know it's very cliche, but it's the God's honest truth. Like, I can't get too far ahead of myself because that's when things start kind of rolling on you. And you know, today was a good day. I had a blast. You know, I felt normal. Like I said, I felt like a normal person again, and that hasn't been in a while. So I'm like I said, I'm appreciative of it.
Hi, back here on OMF. That is Chris Sale. Post game Saturday after pitching out in Worcester, center fielder had to pull one back into the ballpark for him. But you were out there, Lou. You watched his entire performance. What was your take?
You know, I was so you know when you sit in the stands and you watch, it's awful tough to see location. I saw one inning. I was in the booth for one inning, and he struck out the side in the third, and that was impressive. That was just straight dealing. Nobody had a chance, and that was like the one inning he introduced his changeup, kind of more than anything. So fastball slider early, first inning fastball command was off. Second inning was better. Third inning was fantastic. The fourth inning, they hit him around. I mean, they hit him. It was loud. That was when Tate Matheny brought that ball back in center. There was another shot to left center. You know, left center Pola Park is 399 to left center. It's enormous. Flies out of right, but left field is a bomb, and especially in that gap. And they hit a couple. You know, so I don't know about the location. It seemed like it was changeup slider that a couple of the guys hit. So then that final inning, it was 91-93, as opposed to, say, like 95, 94. He topped off at 96. So I think he got a little tired there in that last inning. So I think overall, this is where the whole thing changes for me. Oh, I would say overall, big, you know, good step for Chris Sale. Give me one more outing. Try to get into the sixth if you can, whatever the pitch count is. And then if you're healthy, you come up here and you give us what you got. So, and to be honest with you, big picture, it's not about this. Get your feet wet and be ready for next year. But now, given the situation of like the deadline and whether the help is not there, now you go from like having Chris Sale back and take anything he gets, you get from him. So now I need him to be very, very good.
Need him to be an ace.
Like, I need him to be very, very good, right? If,
yes.
If this team, if you still believe in this team to do anything, right? So it just, I don't know, it just, listen, they're not going to added pressure on him, or he's going to put pressure on himself no matter what. But I just think as far as this team being successful, you went from just having Chris Sale back as a bonus to now you need him to be very good.
Well, you didn't get that other arm, so he has to be your stopper. He has to be the guy. And I think that's an awful lot to ask for a guy who's just coming off Tommy John surgery. I think the best thing about after that game on Saturday is that we're not hearing that there's any issue with the elbow, any pain or anything. Because as you know, a lot of times that happens. Guys push it when they come back from Tommy John, and it's not really a problem, but it's a slight setback where they have to, you know, wait it out a few days. Yeah. Let the elbow settle down a little bit.
That's the thing. It's like the most important. That's the most important thing. We all know that, right? That he feels good. And, you know, you would have sat there and said, okay, listen, he's going to get in this rotation. Just go out there and keep us in the game like the rest of these guys do in the bottom end, or the whole staff at this point. Just give me five, give up three. Keep me in the game. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. That's like a 5.2 ERA. That's what this staff is. Give me five, give up three, let's go to the bullpen, hope we score more. You know, so now he kind of falls into that category that it would have been acceptable. It's just now if you think they can do something, it's got to be more than that. You can't just slide in and be one of those guys, you know. And he probably will be. It's just that in order, I think, to do more, to be who maybe you know you were for the first 4 months, he's got to be better than that.
Well, I'm not saying they did it intentionally. You talked about putting pressure on him; he'll put it on himself. But in effect, they did, because if the goal still is for this team to compete for a playoff spot, as you said, he's got to be very, very good. And I'm not sure he's capable of being very, very good right now.
I know a lot of people look at it and say, well, you know, you're upset, but yet they got Sale coming back, and they still got Tanner Houck, who I still think is phenomenal. You know, he's still great. The problem with it is, again, we got to go off certain words that you've already told us. Like Bloom said, he's not counting on either one of them, you know, as far as like deadline additions. He's not having that mentality. You know, Alex has talked about it many times, right? Nobody can add Chris Sale. So Alex has talked about it as the manager, but as a team builder, if you're Hein Bloom, he's kind of poo-pooed that sentiment. Like, no. I don't look at it that way. I'm not going to just stand pat and just rely on these two guys, you know, as additions. But yet he did.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to hear Hansel Robles or Austin Davis, the fudge kid, whatever the Christ his nickname is.
Big fudge.
The big fudge.
Big
like,
fudge.
What you did was you averaged Robles, who's still got good stuff, who's competing for your sixth or seventh high leverage spot in your bullpen. You didn't bring in a guy in the top five. You didn't. He's got good stuff, but he's on a roll. He's hit or miss. He walks a ton of guys. Austin Davis, he's a floater. He's a 4A guy.
Yep.
You know, he's a guy that's in the organization for the next 4 years. They might have put him in the big leagues just to kind of make themselves feel better about the deal. But he's a Triple-A guy, and we'll see. Maybe he's up there next year and he helps. But he's an organizational guy. Robles, all right, good. You added a bullpen arm, depth. I get it. It's better to see Robles out there than Workman. But when was Workman coming in anyways?
Hey, he wasn't.
When you lose
him? He's gone. And he's gone again. He's gone.
So is he going to get more important innings than Taylor? Ottavino?
No.
Well, Ottavino's going through a tough stretch. But right. Sarmore when he comes back, or Darwinson, or Whitlock, or Houck when he's out in the pen? No. So you added your 6th, 7th best reliever. I don't consider that much.
All right. Let's see if people are pissed or not, because we all changed our expectations, and apparently we did. The players might have, but I'm not sure the front office did, based on their actions at the end of the week last week. 617-779-7937. Here's Matt in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good,
yeah,
Matt.
Pretty disappointing, obviously. I mean, if this kid comes up, once he heals up and starts, you know, hitting the ball like he was, then our lineup, you know, the theory they could hit their way out of it. But I see the pitching is definitely getting pretty tired. And you don't want, obviously, to put all that pressure on Sale, because, you know, as a player, he's a, you know, high-intensity player. He's going to want to make an impact. But we got to, you know, tread lightly with that. You know, as far as wanting, you know, obviously I think the biggest need was an arm, you know, not Max Scherzer, but, you know, someone else. And, you know, we didn't have the assets to do it. Like you said, Lou, let me just ask, after watching the series with Tampa, how do they churn out so many young, great pitchers? Is it just scouting? Is it player development, or is it combination? What's attributing to all that? Because we need to get a little bit of that. you know, to have the assets to wheel and deal.
McClanahan was definitely a pick, and he's fantastic, the lefty. And this is why, remember when the season started, I hadn't said the Rays were going to win the division.
You did.
When it was all Tampa, it was all New York, rather, and Toronto. It was like, nope, Tampa. Because you could talk about losing Morton and his 4.5 ERA last year. And you could lose about talk about losing Snell, but it was like, nope, they got guys. They got, and a lot of it is trades. They got a kid, Patino, from San Diego. He's been lights out. McClanahan, lights out. I don't know if you saw the Olympic team. Shane Baz, he threw today for the Olympics. He was the third player they got for Glasnow and Meadows for Chris Archer. The third player. The player to be named later. And he's starting for the Olympics. He's like one of the top 10 prospects in baseball. He's another arm you haven't even seen yet. Drafting, developing, scouting, trades, it just works. It's just, they are loaded.
Lou, it's the best organization in baseball when I talk about developing young players. Unfortunately, they're playing with a small market payroll, and so they can't compete. But smartly, what you were just suggesting, when they know the player is up for making big money, they deal him away, and they start all over again. So it's a nice system, nice feeder system to stay competitive. But how do you get over the top and eventually win in Tampa Bay without being able to juice up your roster when you get to the trading deadline? They can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't do it. They brought in Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
And I would argue that's probably the biggest mid-season acquisition this organization has ever made.
No question. Yes.
Ever made as far as a name coming in at the break.
Right.
Now, they'll trade for guys that turn out to be great, like Glasnow and these guys, but at the deadline. So you talk about boosting a lineup, like bringing some energy to a clubhouse, bringing in a veteran guy like that. Good God. I mean, yeah, that's a huge boost for them.
It's amazing. I don't know who is directly responsible. In the old days, you were sitting there and you were crediting, you know, Friedman for all of this. And then he left. He went to the Dodgers organization. And the next guy in line. And Bloom was like the number three guy, then the number two guy down there. But I guess it's everybody that works within that organization. Because they're all good, Lou. Yeah. They keep on finding these guys. Just think about this. The Red Sox, you know, developed John Lester. How many other pitchers have they developed over the years? This is a really good organization. Boston Red Sox with lots of money. And look at what the Rays have been able to do.
Yeah,
and develop all of those arms. And look at how few arms the Red Sox have actually developed within their own system.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, that's the idea. That's what you want. You know, you want that. You know, and they can only go so far. You want to bring the Rays and the Red Sox together, and what you have is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's what the Red Sox, I think, are striving to become. We'll take the small market guy who understands all of these young talent, how to develop it, how to pick these guys, and then we have the cash to be able to supplement the roster and get the big guns we need.
Right.
Unfortunately, they did not do that on Friday. And here's John in Hartford wants to talk about it. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. You know, there was only one name that was floating around that I got me excited, and that was Scherzer. And I don't know if that was realistic. He probably would have had to give up an awful lot for him. But he's a difference maker. He's a guy that can keep you in a lead or get you some wins. I don't see Rizzo as that guy. I think whatever Schwarber is going to give you, he's going to give you the same amount of pop that Rizzo would give you. So I wasn't terribly upset about it. I think we got one more bat. I appreciate that.
Where's he playing?
And if we couldn't get Scherzer, I think this is the team we have. And if they limp down the stretch, that's not because we didn't have Rizzo in the lineup. Let's be serious.
Right,
that
John.
Means that they didn't have the guns.
Okay, well, they haven't really had the guns all year, and they keep winning. But I would say that who's helped their teams out more the last 3 days, Rizzo or Schwarber?
Oh, come on, Lou. You're talking about three friggin' days?
Yes, that's what I just said, 3 days.
Okay, well the guy in the lineup, yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I'm saying. I don't mind Schwarber because I think you need an outfielder. Your center fielder that everybody was drooling over and screaming and yelling to bring up here, has struck out 16 times in 39 at-bats.
He's fast, though, Lou.
I'm just saying, like, you know, like, I don't know if he can play. Right now, I don't know if he can hit. Like, next year, maybe he could be ready to go. But you need an outfielder.
If we could get two bats and we could have gotten Rizzo and Schwarber, that would have been nice. But I'm saying if it was one or the other, I think it's a push.
Okay. Well, that's all right. We just disagree. That's fine. And Schwarber, listen, I don't mind the Schwarber signing. But everybody is so focused on this 16-game stretch. You know, where he hit 18-game stretch where he hit 16 home runs. you know, before he got hurt. Nobody's even mentioned the previous 51 games when he hit 218 and an OPS of 716.
That's not so good.
In the first 51 games. So, what do you think there's a chance that you're going to get a guy? And he, I mean, he could. He hasn't played baseball in 7 weeks by the time he gets back in the field. And hit 16 bombs in 18 games with an OPS of 1.45?
No, I'd be concerned about it.
You think
it.
That's a little bit above maybe expectation?
No, and I think the other point you
brought
up.
Which is he?
Yeah, is you could have slotted somebody that would give you a little bit more offense at first base.
How about Contact?
That would have been the position.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. You unload the system. I'm looking for fringe players, like fringe players. A guy that can give you a little more contact at first.
You wanted Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana, who, you know, obviously they didn't make him available. You know, number four starter. Like, you know, that's all. You know, and just some depth to get through the next couple of months. So we'll see. Hopefully they stay healthy. Like, the rotation stays healthy. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. And hopefully Sale comes back and he's great. And they'll still be entertaining. They'll still stay in this thing. They're not going to completely crap themselves and fall completely out of this thing.
I think
there's going to be a wild card battle down the stretch between Toronto and New York and Oakland and you.
But the perception is going to be so much different, Lou, if they fall down and
it'll be a
fall
huge disappointment and a failure.
No,
as opposed to doing it differently, being here in a different spot, grinding it out to September and it being a positive and you being proud of how they battled.
And you
it's
know
just to change the whole perception.
People would sit there and say, see, I told you so. Big deal. They did it for a couple of months. Big deal. And I do worry that the players are looking at it that way, saying, you got to be kidding me. We didn't make a move. We didn't go and add anything. Players know what you need. They know what is missing in their lineup. And you can see it this weekend, just not hitting. Here's David in Rhode Island next up on OMF. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. You can hear me?
Can hear you well.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Listen, I love your show, but I got to say I disagree with you quite a bit today. I'm actually shocked to hear the disappointment in your voices. Not only disappointment, you're doing two things. You're giving up on this incredible team that we've watched for 4 months that has, as you've said over and over, surprised us beyond belief. But now you think they're not capable of surprising us anymore? You think they're just going to lay down? These guys don't care if they were added players to them. This, what you're saying right now, is the stuff that they feed off of. Nobody believed they would be where they are right now.
Good.
And right now you're saying, they're gonna struggle in. Maybe they'll get a wild card. That's insane. And you're acting like the Blue Jays and the Yankees aren't the Blue Jays and the Yankees we've watched all year long. We've dominated them as the team we are now. And I got to say, Chris Sale is Chris Sale. Yeah, we can sit and maybe hedge our bets, but come on. He's Chris Sale and Tanner Houck.
Wow.
I think this team is still going to win the AL East.
Yeah.
I don't think they can win the World Series, but I think they are going to. I think it's going to be a battle for the AL East right to the last game.
All right.
David, I love your optimism. You're telling me that you have no doubts whatsoever based on what you're seeing right now? You have no doubts?
I have the same doubts I've had since the beginning of the season, which are little, which are small. They got smaller every month.
Right.
This is still the same incredible team that they've been for 4 months. They're not going to get worse. They're going to get better.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure they can maintain the winning percentage they've had to this point, but I think we talked about this weeks ago, Lou, that if they could play 500 ball or slightly above for the rest of the year, they played so well early on, they're going to be fine. But they've lost, what, five of the last six, four in a row? I mean, and they're playing within the division. So every one of those losses really is kind of double when you're going, and you saw it this weekend. You've now fallen a game and a half behind the race.
I still don't necessarily believe in the Yankees. You know, those two guys are going to make all the difference, even though Rizzo had a nice – and they're going to have a nice week, right? They went down and played Miami. They got Baltimore coming up, and then I think it might be Texas or Minnesota. So they're going to have a really nice 10 games coming out of it. I still don't believe in them. And Taillon's throwing the ball real well. But this Toronto team is not the Toronto team that you have seen all year long.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, but it's just – it's not. You know, now they got Ryu with Ray, and Berríos has now joined it. Alek Manoah, which you didn't see because he was hurt. He's been filthy. Their bullpen's been a mess. They added a couple arms, including Brad Hand. They have the best lineup in baseball. And remember, spring has only been there for 2 or 3 weeks. So that team might be maybe the best team in the American League with the White Sox.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can come back.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know if they can come back. I don't know if they can get in this thing. They're not that far off now. But that team, that Toronto team, that's a team you should be worried about. Yankees, eh, whatever. Finally, they added some lefties.
No, I think you're right about Anthony Rizzo.
Rizzo rakes.
They're better. I just don't know if it's a difference.
No, they've got a lot of holes. There's no question about it. The Yankees have an awful lot of holes. I would say this, that, yeah, this last caller was right. It's been really fun.
It's a good team.
And it came out of nowhere where this team was. But now that you look at the fact that they did virtually nothing last Friday and the teams around them did make moves, they did upgrade, are you not concerned that this thing could fall apart? 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.